to a Clubfoot Mom podcast. I am your host and fellow Clubfoot Mom, Maureen Hoff. I recently received an email through my website from someone I had been in contact with about their child's treatment and doctor decisions at the very beginning of their journey. And they were kind enough to follow back up with me, let me know how everything was going, which if you guys have ever communicated with me, I really love that because it kind of helps me see where you guys are. And I just love to hear how everything's going, especially in follow up. So he had reached out and was asking kind of about what our experience with our cutie is now that she has completed the Boots and Bar and what her activity level is and just what our experience with her has been. It was his experience that he felt like he doesn't have a lot of information about a kind of normal, typical experience of a child with Clubfoot after they have graduated and kind of what they participate in. And I think it's interesting because if you are on the social media groups and you are witnessing that and people posting, sometimes it can skew to people who are having issues, right? So they're asking for support if their child's going through relapse or struggling on some point when they have if they're in that age category of having graduated from Boots and Bar. And so sometimes I found throughout the entire journey, and I've talked about this previously, is that social media sometimes can be a place where people are going and looking for specific help or guidance when they have run into an issue. And you're not necessarily seeing the broader scope of the people who are kind of just trucking along and everything is going according to what they expected. And I find that even for myself, right? I opened up in kind of our last one about how we've kind of come out the other end and Clubfoot isn't this major part of our lives anymore. And so I don't necessarily talk about it as much as I used to because it's not part of our daily life and everything is going really well with her. So I'm not participating in the same capacity that I was or that I think I would be if we were in a different situation where we were needing more support if she needed further treatment. And so I think that kind of applies to this idea too of like how are kids doing after they have graduated from their Boots and Bar. And I can only speak to my experience, and I will also say, which I said to this parent as well, is that it honestly depends. It's so child specific. I know that in Clubfoot, we have this Ponseti method, which is kind of applied as this gold standard. But the reality is, guys, like every Clubfoot is different and every child is different. That means whatever the outcome is going to be slightly different. And so I think there are a lot of different components that play into how well or what you define as well for your child after they have graduated from Boots and Bar and kind of finished, like cross that finish line. And so I think it's really important to keep that in mind when you are thinking about your child, especially if you are in that early age, right? So you're less than one and you're thinking about what my child is going to be like at 6 or 7 or 8 or 10, right? And you're trying to forecast that forward. It's just important to know that everybody is different and what your expectations are going to be different compared to somebody else. So we were in a recent follow-up for our cutie, and she, and the PT told me something. He's like, a lot of parents ask, how do these numbers compare to children without Clubfoot? And he was just like, we don't know. And he was like, I really want you to know that you should be comparing her to her. You can really get into a slippery slope where you're trying to compare her to a typical child, to a non-Clubfoot child. And the reality is we only want her to be compared to her. I mean, I feel like That was one of those insights that you think, wow, this applies not just to this clubfoot treatment, but to kind of parenting in general. As a mom of three girls, I definitely spend a lot of time thinking about that comparison factor and trying not to compare them to each other, because that can get a little bit tricky when they feel like they are being compared. And I think that's something to keep in mind while you're moving forward. So it's like you can ask other people how their kids are doing, but really you should be focused on your child and what their expectations, goals, and achievements are, not in comparison to even their clubfoot peers, because everyone's different. So one of the things that I said was, our cutie is very active. She plays in multiple sports. She is just fundamentally an active child. She never stops moving, and she is very ambitious with what she wants to achieve. There isn't anything that she's like that's caution. There isn't a caution portion about her, right? And I prefaced that because I don't want it to come across that she, you know, that these are the expectations that other families should have. And a part of that plays into what our family dynamic is. She has two older sisters who are heavily active in sports, and she is following that them as role models, right? So she's like, when do I get to play soccer? When do I get to do these things? When am I doing what my sisters are doing? So that plays a factor in her activity level, and also what she is expected to do and what she wants to do all roll into that. So I just always want to preface with that like there are a lot of different components into what you think of as a successful outcome for your child. So for her, she wants, for me, that's her ability to do what she wants to do. If she wants to play soccer, I want her to be able to do that. If she wants to do volleyball, I want her to do that. If she wants to do track, I want her to have that ability to do it. I don't want her to feel limited, but I also want her to make decisions for herself based on what she's interested in. And for us, there hasn't been any limitation for her thus far. She has been able to participate in whatever activity she wants to without any complaining of pain or fatigue in her feet, and she has been thriving since then. And there isn't anyone, unless I point out her clubfoot, no one has ever asked me about it. There hasn't been any indication that she is different than any of her peers. In reality, I think because she has these two older sister role models that she's constantly, you know, kicking the soccer ball around our house with, and the basketballs and everything, like she's naturally a little bit ahead of her peers because she is in that heightened environment of constantly practicing and trying new things so that she can keep up with her own family members. So I think that plays a role also in her ability to kind of maneuver through these different sporting activities. I also just think it's important to note that I don't ask her whether her feet hurt, because in my parental experience, if I ask if something hurts, then they tend to go, oh yeah, it does, right? It's bringing kind of a highlight to something. And so I let her lead the way with that. If she were to say to me, oh, hey, my feet are hurting, or this doesn't, you know, then I'm paying more attention to that than I am leading the question, right? She does have specific issues where she's like kind of sensory stuff with her feet, where she doesn't want to wear specific socks or she's very picky about how those socks fit in her shoes. So we've done a decent amount of that. And if you think about soccer, right, like all that extra stuff in the soccer cleats and the shin guards and all of that and the socks just in general, there has been a little bit of a struggle and some complaining about the feel of those, but there haven't been complaints about her actual feet hurting in any sort of instance. And I think for us, it just played to the fact that I want her to come to me if she does feel that way, as opposed to me kind of constantly with my own anxiety, like, are your feet okay? Are your feet okay? Are your feet okay? Because that's just going to draw more attention to that, as opposed to her saying, hey, you know, this is what I'm experiencing. So that's kind of the route that we've taken with that. And at this point, she hasn't mentioned any of that. And I haven't had any, other than the sensory stuff, any issues with any of the activities that she's doing. And I haven't had any of the coaches ever say anything to me either. Like, oh, she seems to be fatiguing, or she's complaining to me about, you know, any sort of pain. So we haven't had that experience. So the reality is like, we've gotten to a point now where clubfoot isn't her main thing. It's just a part of her, and it will always be a part of her. But I feel like for the first 5 years of her life, that was, you know, a really major part of her life, where she wasn't a kid with club. She wasn't a kid who had clubfoot. Like, clubfoot was a huge part of who she was. And now we're moving into a different stage where it's like, a clubfoot is just this portion of who she is. It's always going to be there, but it's not a majority portion anymore. It's a smaller slice of the pie. And I get emotional even saying that, because when I was in the thick of it, you know, with this parent who's emailing me, I remember just thinking, I don't know if there will ever be a day where this doesn't rule her whole life, where she gets to be more than what her diagnosis is. And I haven't spent a lot of time reflecting on that. But as I think about this now, it's become a smaller portion. It's just a part of her story. It's not the whole story anymore. And for those first 5 years, I really felt like it was the majority of her story. And my work and this podcast and the book, and I mean, that played a bigger role in it too. It put more emphasis on her clubfoot than maybe a typical kid who didn't have a mom whose life centered around creating resources for clubfoot parents would have been. So it's nice to just be able to see that growth and development in her and be able to watch her really thrive in anything that she sets her mind to. So I just wanted to share a little bit about that experience and let you know that it does differ from person to person and from kid to kid. And that's completely normal, and to let your kid really lead the way and know what your expectations and what you define successful outcomes are is also plays a role in what those expectations of what your child is too. And it, in our experience, it's really been her ability to do what she wants and not feel limited. And at this point, we have really achieved that thus far. That doesn't mean that we may encounter different challenges in the future, and when we do, we'll flex to those like we have in the past. So I hope you found this episode helpful. If you think of someone who could benefit from hearing it, please share. And if you would like to get in contact with me, you can do so through my website at maureenhoff.com or my Instagram account at Clubfoot Chronicles Mom. Until next time.